Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray you would help us to put it into practice and see your power displayed in our lives and in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, who was ready for 2020? Anyone ready for 2020? And I sense a lot of people are ready to move on to 2021. I got a picture, it's going to come up on the screen. I think that's how a lot of people feel about 2021. Not too sure about it, approaching it with caution. This morning I want to talk about how can we be ready, ready for anything. And in that I want to ask, well, what if 2021's worse than 2020 or the same as 2020? What if 2021's better? Are we ready for that? I remember being in a Salvation Army music camp night. I think it was a solo night. And somewhere in the context, there was a move of God. The Holy Spirit came. And before that, we must have been asked to pray. And I took this religious kind of stance of praying. And I kind of sat in my seat and I kind of bowed down and looked all religious. But I didn't watch what was going on, and about 5 or 10 minutes later, I looked up, and people had been moving to the front and kneeling and praying, and people praying with each other. And I looked up, and it's like I've missed something. And this morning, I want to talk about how can we be ready, and I'm talking about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and these verses were given to me by someone in prayer and praise night a few weeks ago. I thought this—I just sense it was the right word for our church. There's two or three points I just want to draw out of this morning to make sure that we're ready. Paul was talking to the Thessalonians about being ready for the return of Christ. And in the context of it, it actually talks about God's time. We know when Jesus comes back, it's going to be God's time. God's going to absolutely, he's establishing his purposes on the earth now, bit, by his spirit, through his people. But when Jesus returns, he's going to establish his kingdom once and for all. And so it's talking about God's timing, but I want to talk about it a bit broader than just the second coming of Christ, is these principles can be used to make sure we're ready for anything. We need to be ready for, you know, if Jesus comes back tomorrow or next week or next year or in 10 years, we need to be ready. But these principles can be put in place in our lives so that we're ready for anything, anytime, no matter whether it's good or whether it's bad. If it's good, we don't want to miss it. And if it's bad, we want to survive it. So our first point this morning is to be ready. We need to avoid indifference. The verse here says, so then let us not be like others. And he's talking about sons of light and sons of darkness. In other words, if we're sons of light, we're followers of Jesus. And therefore, if we're followers of Jesus, we shouldn't be asleep. And the word sleep he uses here is not like Paul used in other places where it's talking about Christians who have died and are, in a sense, sleeping until they're resurrected. But he's talking about sleep in the sense of being indifferent to the things of God. So just not caring about the things that God cares about. If we want to be ready, we need to care about the things God cares about. I love being an Aussie, but one of the things can serves us well and can serve us not so well is that whole thing of, oh, she'll be right. Now, if we struggle from anxiety, sometimes that's good to look in the mirror and go, she'll be right. That can be a good thing. But if we tend to be a bit slack, especially in our spiritual life, we go, oh, she'll be right. God's good. God's gracious. God forgives me. And sometimes we can get a little bit indifferent to the things of God. Get indifferent about studying the word or being in fellowship or spending time in prayer. And these are the things that, and even, you know, the attitude stuff. Oh, well, you know, I might forgive them one day. It's like, no, the Bible tells us to forgive, to live a lifestyle of forgiveness, not one day. Today is the day we need to forgive people. Today is the day we need to walk in grace and love and joy and peace. And so, you know, when we're not right with God or when there's something, I had an attitude towards someone this week and even this morning, I was praying, God, what is wrong with me? You know, sometimes it's right to ask that question. Why have I got an attitude towards this particular person? And I'm still waiting on God's answer for that. But I'm aware. You know, the first step, we don't want to get indifferent if we've got an attitude about something. Oh, well, you know, everyone, no one's perfect. There's another slacker line, isn't it? No one's perfect. You know what? Jesus, we're not perfect, but Jesus calls us to a higher standard than what the children of darkness or the world has. The world has, you know, I think the world just keeps lowering the bar, to be honest, doesn't it? Jesus isn't lowering his bar. This is the standard. He walked this earth. He wants us to be like him. He's given us his spirit so we can be like him. He's not lowering the bar. And therefore, we're not to be indifferent. We're not to be asleep spiritually. We're to be awake and paying attention to the things that God cares about. Also remember going up the Bruce Highway in Queensland and falling asleep at the wheel of my car. And I woke up hitting a guidepost. Lucky there was a guidepost there to hit, or I might not have woken up. And if you've ever been on the road between Brisbane and the Sunshine Coast, there's two lanes, north and south, and a big divot in between. And I should have known better, because before that time, I remember going up the coast 1 o'clock in the morning and seeing these lights coming towards me. I thought it was a UFO. You know, it was red, white, red, white. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm freaking out and half asleep. And then a guy had gone up the highway, had a fight with his girlfriend, had a few drinks, gone up the highway, coming back, and he went to sleep and went down between the two roads, hit adjoining road, like for police and ambulance, and his car went end for end. And I was the first one on the scene, and I got there, got him out of the car, the police then came, waited for a while for the ambulance. You know, tragic. I'm not sure what happened to that guy, but he fell asleep. So I should have known better, but this afternoon, I'd been up the coast the first day. I come back to work. I was going up again. I was too tired. I should have gone home and had a sleep. And I'd fallen asleep. And I wasn't showing care and respect for the road by not going home and having a sleep first. And so I hit this guidepost. Luckily, I was able to take control of the car. I was okay except for a big dent in the front of my car. Everything was okay. A mark. It was a nice square. It was not one of those, you know, plastic guideposts they have today. It's one of those good, solid timber, snapped it off in the ground guideposts. So I had a guidepost tattoo on the front of my car where the guidepost had woken me up. And but, you know, I thought one of the opposite of indifference is to care, to respect, to be interested in. And you know what? I wasn't interested in my safety or anyone else's safety that day. And the same is if we get indifferent about the things of God, we can shipwreck our faith. And it affects us. It affects those around us. It can cause all kinds of problems. And so we need to be not indifferent. We need to be awake and to care and to respect and to be interested in the things of God. Secondly, this morning, to be ready, I need to know and share God's values. It says here to be sober is the word. And the word sober means free from illusion, from the intoxicating influences of sin. Isn't that interesting? Having the presence of mind or clear judgment, to be temperate or self-controlled. An illustration I want to use this morning is that and what Paul's talking about here is moving towards the light and living as children of light, which is basically just making God choices. You ever had choices to make? And sometimes we make bad choices, you know, to not forgive or to have a bad attitude and not deal with it, or to, you know, not repent from being angry at someone and speaking harshly. And so we're walking towards the darkness. And you can use a lot worse, you know, illustrations than that. But when we make a step towards away from God, what happens is like we become it's a little bit harder to see. And so, you know, when I step towards God, my vision gets clearer and clearer. But when I step away from God, my vision gets darker and darker. And I don't know if you ever noticed this, but sometimes people walking with us in the Christian faith sometimes just absolutely shipwreck their faith. You go, what's happened? Well, what usually happens is it doesn't usually happen overnight. Normally it's just one step at a time. And they lose the clarity that Jesus can give them. And then they make another decision. And it's like it gets darker and darker. And there will be another decision that's against what God wants. That's why we should seek good counsel. Now, I can hardly see you. And you know, imagine if I kept doing that, I actually lose my whole sight and I can't see where I'm going. And this is what happens. Instead of walking towards the light, walking the way, living life the way Jesus wants me to live it, if I live opposite to that, or any time I disobey Jesus, it's like I lose a little bit of my revelation. I lose a little bit of my sight. And I often have these conversations with my dad. It's like, how can that happen? And we can only come to the conclusion that it becomes a spiritual blindness. You know, when we become Christians, it says the veil's lifted. We get sight. And that's why, you know, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he rose again, then if you're not a Christian, you're so close because you just can't believe that stuff without the veil being lifted, without being given spiritual sight. And so that's what it means here when Paul talks about sober and not getting drunk. He's not talking about literally so much as spiritually of making sure that we're walking towards Jesus, we're valuing the things. So, you know, let's take swearing, for example. Some people today go, oh, well, swearing doesn't matter. Well, the Bible talks really clearly about not swearing. Now, in some ways, it's a little thing. But if I go, oh, that's all right, or coarse joking, the Bible talks about not coarse joking. Oh, well, yeah, it doesn't really matter. I have to tell a bit of a joke here and there. Every time I make a decision, I'm walking away from the light and I'm losing a little bit of my revelation. And so we want to make sure that in all our decisions, we're walking the way Jesus would walk and we're allowing him to bring us more and more revelation and clearer sight. Because the problem with when people get drunk is their vision gets blurry. You know, so if we're not sober, our vision, our judgment gets blurry, and therefore we're not ready for what might come. We might miss God, or if things get tough, we might not be able to navigate them because we're not sober, as Paul is talking about being sober. And finally this morning, to be ready, we need to be watchful. And Paul uses in this verse, he's talking about a soldier. He's talking about a breastplate of faith and love. He's talking about a salvation of hope. And the picture he's trying to paint is a soldier on watch, like on guard duty. And he's watching for the enemy to come. And he's protecting the platoon for his mates from anything that might be coming. And so Paul says here, be watchful. And some of the definitions here of the word watchful is give strict attention to, or to be cautious and active. Watch so that you won't be led to forsake Christ is the context here, or watch so that you won't fall into sin. I don't know about you, but the devil's really sneaky. And actually, not only sometimes we blame the devil, but also human nature's sneaky. Have you ever been tricked by your human nature? You ever found yourself in front of the fridge and got no idea how you got there? What am I doing in the fridge again? You know, that's our human nature, friends. I use that as a simple illustration, but we can go, what am I doing watching that on the internet again? How come I'm wasting time scrolling through Facebook when I should be doing something else? So human nature's sneaky. So we need to be watchful. We need to be watching out. I love that in the Lord's Prayer. You know, that was a model of prayer that Jesus gave us to use and said, lead us not into temptation. You know, in other words, we're asking God to protect us from our nature, from the enemy, absolutely, but also from our own nature. A verse I love, guard your heart, for it's a wellspring of life, Proverbs 4:23, is absolutely, we need to guard our heart from what comes from outside. But the real context of the verse is guarding our heart from what comes from inside. You know, unforgiveness, bitterness. We can rattle them off, those hard attitudes that, you know, they just start off small, like a little mole. And before they know it, they can become a melanoma. And before we know it, it can become a terminal spiritual illness. The Bible talks about the bitter root. Well, you don't get a bitter root overnight. You get a bitter root because little bit by little bit, we haven't been watchful and watching out for our human nature, you know, watching out for the enemy. And keeping our eyes on Jesus, what does Jesus tell us to do? The things he tells us to do is so that we can stay on track and we can be prepared and we can be ready for whatever comes. And this is what happens when we're not watchful. I remember when I was year 7 primary school, Nambour Primary School. We used to play soccer up on the top oval. And this one lunchtime, I was probably running a bit late. Who knows what was going on? I was just wandering up to the oval to find my mates and play soccer. I had no, wasn't paying attention. Now you can't imagine me doing that. And then, why are you laughing? And I didn't realize I'd walked through the middle of a set of soccer goalposts. And the first I knew of it was I was flat on the back after being hit full in the face with a soccer ball. Someone was just playing soccer and kicked a great goal. And I was in the middle of it. It wasn't their fault. I was standing. I wasn't being watchful. I wasn't paying attention. And before I know it, smack in the face, flat on my back. When has that happened in life to us? Because we're not being watchful. You know what? I believe Jesus prepares us for things that are coming. And I remember hearing Craig on the radio one Friday with a pastor from Elam Church. And the pastor said a really interesting thing. Craig said, oh, you know, it's interesting that there hasn't been more prophecies about what was going to happen in 2020. And the pastor from Elam said, he says, well, there has, but people don't want to hear them because they sound negative. And people only want to hear positive prophecies. Well, friends, if you only want what's positive, you're going to leave half the Bible out, because it does talk about judgment, even in the New Testament. It does talk about difficult things, even in the New Testament. And so we've got to have ears to hear and be watchful. Say, God, what is, you know, so Martin Master Duffy said, there has been prophecies before 2020 that 2020 was going to be a hard year. But no one was listening. They were all looking for the positive prophecies. You know, God, bless me, bless me. Well, God's going to bless us. But God is a faithful God, so he's also going to warn us. And I believe that if we're listening, if we're ready, if we're sober, if we're watchful, God will make sure. We may not know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God will make sure we're prepared for it. Have you ever had that situation? A bit like when I can't use that illustration, can I? I was going to say, when I hit the guidepost, it's kind of not, you know, because I was doing the wrong thing. But me and my mates used to rally car drive our little cars out the back of the gravel roads on the Sunshine Coast. And if I hadn't done that, I'm not saying you should do that. You should. The right way to do that is a defensive driving course. So go do a defensive driving course. I did my own form of defensive driving course. But because I did that, when I hit the guidepost, I didn't have time to think. I automatically corrected the car. Mind you, I fishtailed, I don't know what speed, 80 kilometres an hour up a highway, right across the highway two or three times, and then stopped. Looked in the rear view mirror and all these cars were waiting back there, obviously waiting to see what was going to happen. One stopped to see if I was okay, and I was. But I was prepared in advance. Does that make sense? That's why you do defensive driving course, to be prepared in advance. Now, if we are strong in the Lord, if we've been studying the Word, we've been fellowshipping, we've been obeying everything God leads us to do, we will be ready for anything. Isn't that good? And so we don't have to worry about what tomorrow brings. We don't have to worry about missing God or navigating hard things, because God will have us pre-prepared. He may give us some warning, he may not, but if we do what he's told us to do, we will be ready one way or another. I've been waiting for my midlife crisis. So I thought it would come at 40. I was really surprised it didn't come at 50, or maybe it has come. I'm not sure what a midlife crisis looks like, but this week I've been listening to some music I really liked in the 90s. I was hoping Gary Baker would be here today so I could ask him if that's what a midlife crisis looks like. Start listening to old music. Steve reckons that he's been through one, possibly, listening to old music. So in the 90s, I was introduced to a Christian singer called Stephen Curtis Chapman. And on Thursday mornings, my day off, spent some time, extra time with the Lord, and just started listening to these old songs that had ministered to me so much when I was in my early 20s. And it was a really defining moment of my life. I'd given my life back to Jesus when I was 18. And then around the age of 22, I went off to the Salvos Discipleship School. And that's where I found Stephen Curtis Chapman wasn't at the Salvos Discipleship School, but one of his fans was. And they introduced me to his music. And I was so spoke to my soul in so many ways. So at the age of 22 is when I surrendered my life to Jesus. I'd asked Jesus to be my Savior, but I'm not sure I'd asked him to be my Lord, the boss, to do things his way. And so reflecting on these songs on Thursday, I thought, you know what? This is where I landed. I landed in this because the truths of the songs are still true. And I went, I don't regret giving my life to Jesus at 18. I look back, I'm 50 years old, and I look back, I do not regret giving my life to Jesus when I was 18. And you know what? I look back, Stephen Curtis Chapman songs, I go, you know what? I don't regret surrendering my life to Jesus when I was 22. And I can see his faithfulness to me all through the years. And I just want to read one of these songs that I've been reflecting back on. Hadn't listened to it, hadn't heard it for years. And then when it played, I thought, this is still so true. And the verse says, today I watched in silence as people passed me by and strained to see if there was something hidden in their eyes. But they all looked back at me as if to say, life just goes on. The old familiar story told in different ways. Make the most of your own journey from the cradle to the grave. Dream your dreams tomorrow because today life must go on. But then the chorus says this, but there's more to this life than living and dying. More than just trying to make it through the day. More than this life. More than these eyes alone can see. And there's more than this life alone can be. And the last verse says, so where do we start to find every part of what makes this life complete? If we turn our eyes to Jesus, we'll find life's true beginning is there at the cross where he died. He died to bring us more to this life. What I want us to reflect on this morning is, I used the sunnies before and I might go off the screen, but I'm coming back. This is going to mess up everything for you. How's that? I just want to illustrate something, because I think this morning what I want us to do is, if we've made some of those decisions where we've walked away from the light, and we, you know, we may not even know that we can't see as well as we could see before. Things might have just got a little bit more confused. You know, God is not a God of confusion. And when we walk away from the light, things are a little bit harder to see. Things get confusing. And if things are confusing this morning, maybe we need to just walk back towards the light, to come back to Jesus. And what I want us to think about as a kind of the metaphor or the illustration is that we, you know, sometimes we make bad decisions, we have regrets. And I don't think we're meant to live with regrets. I believe Jesus died to take away regret. And so we turn back to the light. And as we turn back to the light this morning, I want you to kind of picture like you're hanging up your sunnies. You're hanging up your, you know, the things that have caused spiritual blindness. A lack of watchfulness, a lack of being sober. And saying, Jesus, you know what? I haven't been doing everything your way. And I really think your way is best. Sorry, I haven't been doing things your way. And I want to start doing things your way. And, you know, this morning, whatever that situation might be for you, it might be how you're managing a relationship. It might be how you're managing work, finances. You know, whatever part of your life that may have become confusing. And it's more than just, you know, sometimes there's seasons of that. Sometimes it's so because we want to make sure that we're living the way God wants us to live in regards to all areas of our life. And so, you know, if there's, you realize there may be a decision you've made in recent weeks or months or years, and you say, oh, I want to, you know, God, forgive me for that. I want to just change how I think about that. You know, it's a time to kind of hang up our sunglasses and be able to be children of the light and to be able to see clearly. So I'm just going to pray. The band's going to sing a great song about surrender. And, you know, surrender is the only way to live. I found this year I've surrendered more than any other year in my life. And the more things I've surrendered, the more things get fixed. Isn't that funny? When I try to fix things, I just get tired and they're often not fixed. But when I surrender them, when I hand them over to God, I find He fixes them while I rest. What a great deal. He fixes my problems while I rest. Instead of me working and nothing getting fixed. How amazing. What do you need to surrender to Him? What area of your life may you need to surrender to Him this morning? Lord Jesus, we just come to you. First of all, we surrender our lives to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came and you died for us so that we could be reconnected with the Father. And so we accept your sacrifice on the cross for us this morning. We ask that you would forgive us for the times we've been independent and try to do things our way. And we ask, Lord, we want to make you Lord of our lives. We want to do things your way, believing by faith that your way is best, even in the times that we don't understand it. And so we want to walk towards the light. We want our eyes opened more and more to the realities of who you are. So we totally surrender ourselves and every aspect of our lives to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.